The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live in Chicago for the DNC. I got it right this time. Dom, we've got a friend of ours. He is the former DNC national chairman, former labor secretary. He is Tom Perez, our friend, a guy with some, Milwaukee roots and Wisconsin roots. Let's turn on his microphone so we can hear him. Tom, welcome to the show, man.
It's great to be back. I was in Milwaukee over the weekend celebrating my father-in-law's 88th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And then took the train down here today. And as always, we had a great time in Milwaukee. And it's great to be here in my personal capacity with all of you.
It's good to see you again.
Yes.
Tom, your daughter's done at UW now?
She's done. She graduated in 2020 in the height of COVID. She's been dating a guy now for 4 years who they were lifeguarding at the Union Pier the summer before senior year, and they're still together.
Wow.
Living in Washington. So, a lot of memories. My son went to USC, and now they're in the Big Ten, and USC plays Wisconsin
September 28th. Year. Sure.
And guess what? My son already has his tickets for the game. And I've already told them I'm rooting for the Badgers.
All right. Well done, sir.
I am also planning a party for that day. Tom
Perez.
Oh,
my God. Oh, I might have to go now, except there's this thing going on called a campaign.
Tom, we lobbied you for a couple years, DNC MKE 2020, and you awarded it to Milwaukee. And, of course, the pandemic set in. It never quite happened like we would have envisioned it. But now, with the DNC here in Chicago, Kamala Harris and her team have this brilliant idea. They're involving Milwaukee. There's a campaign rally in Milwaukee tomorrow. And effectively, it's going to be, a broadcast simulcast between Milwaukee and Chicago. I think it's brilliant, Tom. What's your thought?
I'm thrilled to hear about it. And, the vice president, as you know, has been to Milwaukee many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Walz, being from Minnesota, it's a kindred spirit. I've known Governor Walz for such a long time, and I was thrilled when he was chosen because he understands every county in Wisconsin, because so many counties in Wisconsin are so similar to so many counties in Minnesota. There's a reason why there's reciprocity between UW and the U, because, there's a lot of simpaticoness between the two states. And tomorrow's event is going to be, lights out. I'm sure on AI we will know how many people showed up at the rally. The energy's everywhere. And I have to give a shout-out to my friend Ben Wickler, the party chair in Wisconsin. Worked closely with him during my tenure at the DNC, and he was kicking butt back then and continues to do so. But I really want to shout out the voters in Wisconsin, because, every year is a huge year, whether it's the election last year for Judge Janet, and she went to the same high school that my wife went to, Pi Hi XI in Milwaukee.
Oh, Pius, okay, yeah.
Yeah, folks have understood the stakes. I mean, democracy is on the ballot, and it's not just on the ballot during a presidential election year. The reason we have fair maps in Wisconsin is because voters turned out in 2023. Voters turned out you know, frankly, every year since 2016 in abundance. And that's why we've got Tony Evers for a second term. That's why I know Tammy Baldwin is going to win again, notwithstanding the millions of dollars. I was watching part of the Packer game last night, and I think I saw three ads, you know, that were vile. But people know Tammy. She's a brand in Wisconsin, and I'm confident she's going to pull it out. But the stakes couldn't be higher. I mean, we always have some playful banter on this, but there's nothing playful about the stakes that lie ahead here. We have freedom on the ballot in so many different ways, whether it's a woman's right to choose, or whether it's the freedom to love, whether it's the freedom to have access to basic rights. I mean, that Project 2025, I urge all your listeners, spend 5 or 10 minutes looking at it. It is a radical agenda, you know, doing away with the right to organize, making all federal employees at-will employees. Again, a woman's right to choose. It is just beyond radical. And, the last time Trump ran, I think a lot of folks thought, well, you know, he's a little bit of bluster. You got to take him at his word. You know, when he says, I want to be a dictator for a day, believe it.
Yes.
He wasn't subtle. Like, this will be the last time you'll have to vote. You know, I take him at his word. And Wisconsinites have done that. And I was proud to bring the convention to Wisconsin in 2020. And we did so because we wanted to make sure we made a very strong statement to residents of Wisconsin that we are organizing everywhere. We care about Milwaukee. We care about the Midwest. And, I'd like to think that our engagement there was certainly part of it. The most important thing was what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris stood for. Elections are about the future now. And I think we have a very bright future with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. I'm sad that we haven't had time to chat as often over the last 3 years, because this is the most consequential 3.5 years I've seen in my lifetime. You know, the investments in infrastructure. I was in Wausau, six, 7 months ago at a home where they're finally getting, clean pipes, because they've had lead-infested pipes, for the entire time. The family had been living there 44 years. They never had clean water. Now, you look at the investments in high-speed internet across the state. If you have a mental health issue and you need health care and you live in rural Wisconsin and you don't have high-speed internet, you don't have health care. Plain and simple. And, because of the investments from the vice president and others, we are building internet for all. And because of the leadership of your governor, Wisconsin is ahead of almost every other state at the pace of bringing not only lead pipe, but also high-speed internet to every corner of the state. And so we've made so much progress. And yet, the future really is at stake. What kind of a country do we want to live in? A country where you have access to health care, or a country where we move backward? A country where women have freedoms, or a country where we rip them away? I don't understand when I hear J.D. Vance talk about, I want to penalize childless women who have cats, I guess. And yet, he had an opportunity to vote for the child care tax credit.
And he did not do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you care about families and children, the biggest, we know how to reduce childhood poverty in this country. Why do I say that with such confidence? Because we did it, damn it. In 2021, when we had the child care tax credit as part of the American Rescue Plan. Who cast the deciding vote on the American Rescue Plan? A woman named Kamala Harris.
The most consequential election in our lifetime. Tom Perez, former Labor Secretary, former DNC Chair. It's great to see you again, Tom.
Always.
In Wisconsin, since Kamala Harris has taken over the top of the ticket, the enthusiasm has gone through the roof. We've heard the numbers, up to 43,000 new volunteers in a month, Tom. Now, you've been doing this a long, long time. What does that say? What does that mean?
I've never seen anything like it. And Wisconsin is not an outlier. I was in Maine, like a week or so after the president's announcement, and they went from 60 volunteers to 700.
Wow. Same
thing in Michigan. We're all sports guys. And sports is about momentum. When you continue momentum, that's how you win. And let's be clear, this is going to be a close election because we're a divided nation. the momentum is on our side. Why? Because we have two candidates that are focused on the future, and they're not focused on themselves. This election at a certain level is about pronouns. You know, this is about you. Joe Biden said that when he stepped aside. It wasn't about him. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are talking about, how do we make your lives easier? How do we lower the cost of groceries? How do we lower the cost of housing? How do we make sure you get access to prescription drugs that don't break the bank of your family budget? And he's all about grievance about himself. And that's, you know, I think the future is bright. And you know, we've got to, leaders should summon the better angels of communities. That's what I've always tried to do. I've had the privilege of leading organizations I never dreamed I'd have had the privilege of doing. And, you know, I just had someone from the Labor Department that I worked with come up to me. I hadn't seen him in 8 years and say, you know, really enjoyed, you know, the tone you set. You included everyone. And, that gives me great comfort, because that's what leaders are supposed to do. They're supposed to lead. They're supposed to bring everyone together. And, you know, I was in, I've spent a lot of time in Wausau and Appleton. And, you know, what inspires me as much as anyone is the Hmong community there.
Yeah.
You know, we have an opportunity to elect the first Hmong American to the state assembly. And it is a community that literally gave their lives for the United States. And, you know, they're just demonized by the other side. That's not who we are. So we're going to summon our better angels.
Tom, mass deportations. Trump is threatening, if elected, and
take him at his word.
I believe him, sir. I believe that's his goal. I don't know how it would actually be implemented. But this seemingly is a sentiment that's supported by so many of the MAGA base. I don't know. This is not the America I want to live in, Tom.
And that's what we, part of what we have to do is remind people of who we are as a nation. And on immigration, the best person that I would cite is Ronald Reagan. I invite you to take a look at the last speech he gave as president, January 19th, 1989. He could have talked about anything. What did he talk about? Immigrants. And what he said was, and I'm paraphrasing, but not by much, you know, if our nation's history is what, our nation's immigrant history is what makes us great. And the moment we turn our backs on them, we will be a lesser nation. That was Ronald Reagan. These folks who in Congress who have his bust in their office need to read the stuff he's talking about and practice what he has preached.
Tom Perez, former chairman of the Democratic National Convention, former labor secretary. I'd like to thank friend of the devil's advocate.
Always friend of the devil's
Tom,
advocate.
Tom, thank you so much for making time for us today.
I will be with you anytime except when the Bills play the Packers. I can't do that.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Perez, thank you. More devil's advocates live at the DNC in Chicago. Come back with us.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live from the DNC at the United Center in Chicago. Thank you, Tom Perez, former labor secretary, former chair of the DNC. We had a lot of fun going around with him. What was that, 2016 cycle? Great to hear from Tom again. Great to see Tom again. Look forward to perhaps catching up with him more often.
Yeah, we exchanged numbers. No one ever wants our phone number, duh. No, I'm good. No, you're fine.
You're fine,
man. We understand there is some breaking news out of Chicago as well. Protesters have apparently broached at least one line of the chain link down the green zone. This being reported to us, we will update you. We've got some video, but that doesn't play so well on the radio programs, Don. But what can you tell us? I see you've got some local news.
According to CBS Chicago, protesters breached a security fence into the security perimeter for the DNC Monday afternoon. The official protest that moved away from Park 578 by just after 4:30 p.m., but a faction stayed behind and broke through the fence at Washington Boulevard and Walcott Avenue. The group made it through the first line of the perimeter and was trying to make it through the second, which could allow them access to the United Center, chanting, "Whose streets? Our streets." Just after Tara Molina was finishing up a live shot for CBS News Chicago, protesters began lining up behind her and shaking the security fences. The barrier came down and started crawling through. Once people started crossing, police quickly moved in, and the tone of the protest changed dramatically.
Now we've also got Civic Media's own Max Martinson. We don't have to credit other news sources. We've got an eyewitness. Max was out there. He's got video of it. That's what was being represented.
Excellent. Apparently, after the security fences were breached, protesters started throwing drinks and signs.
Never
at
waste
police
a
officers.
Drink. What
Come
are you
on.
Doing?
Officers with gas masks and riot gear moved and remained at the scene by 5:15. Earlier, the loaded up what appeared to be pepper balls, which are used to disperse crowds. The U.S. Capitol Police were also on the scene with riot shields. Only about 100 people were part of the faction involved in the security breach. Vast majority of people involved in the protest were peaceful and had left the scene by this time.
And it's also been reported to us by Max that the police took bolt cutters away from the protesters.
Mm.
When you show up with bolt cutters, you're up to no good, Dom. We do have video, as mentioned. Check it out on the Civic Media. I'm sure it's going up on the social medias. I see a red bolt cutter. That looks shiny and new, like someone went to the hardware store earlier today to buy those. Thank you, Max Martinson, for sharing that information. Our Cub reporter here at the DNC out there while we're doing our little job here at the table, Dom. But I played Cub reporter earlier today. And since I went out in the community, I want to make you suffer through it.
You went out in the community and didn't get Governor Walz, but you got what? Ron Johnson and Rick Scott, two of the richest guys in the Senate.
I went to Trump Tower, as one does when one's at the DNC. And I don't know if you noted last night, Don, but they played, or more accurately, projected a couple things on the Trump Tower last night. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let me play, and I'm going to need your help, Rich. Let's play a little bit of the sound we've got from earlier today. This, my sound, I got this. I plopped down in the front row. I'm wearing my red hat. Ron acted like he didn't know me. You know me, Ron. This was actually near the end of the press conference. Rich, we're going to do Ron Johnson, cut number 5. She was the nice lady next to me from Bloomberg asked, you know, why would black voters, why should they vote for Trump? Play it for the people. Ron Johnson's response.
We're the party of Lincoln. We're the party that ended slavery. We're here in Chicago for the DNC. That is the party of identity politics. You know, one thing I can absolutely guarantee about President Trump is he wants to be president for every American. And during his presidency, every American benefited. You know, real wages were up. And quite honestly, they were up higher for many of these demographic groups. So again, we don't play identity politics. You know, we actually embrace what Martin Luther King
talked about. I don't know if she's black. I thought she was Indian.
Judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin.
Oh, God. When Republicans start quoting MLK.
I quite honestly encourage him. I'd love to see he can do that in Milwaukee. I suppose he'd come to Chicago. There's probably not much hope of him winning in Illinois, but I'd love to see him come to Milwaukee, because the input I'm getting, I'm doing some urban talk radio in Milwaukee, there's pretty good reception to it, quite honestly. So again, President Trump wants to be president for every American, and again, he's shown that he was, and he can do it again.
You're there as press, right? How do you not laugh when he says this? We got one more, I believe, from Ron Johnson. Let's hear the Kamala inflation. Inflation, easy for me to say. Cut number 6, please.
Inflation damage has been done. You know, the stat I always like looking at, because people don't really, it's hard to understand percentages exactly.
It's hard. I mean, so all you dumb people.
The stat I use is a dollar you held at the start of the Biden administration is worth 83 cents. That's literally like they took 17 cents away from you.
They took it
so
away.
That damage has already been done. Now, what you need to do is make sure that inflation doesn't continue. And with Congress proposing $2 trillion more in increased child tax credit and health subsidies, you know, $25,000, I mean, where's this money going to come from? Well, it's going to be borrowed. That's printing more money. Inflation is pretty easy to define. It's too many dollars chasing too few goods. So you're massively spending deficit dollars, printing money. At the same time, you're instituting price controls, which will absolutely reduce the supply. So you're exacerbating the problem. You're not fixing it all. You're doing the exact wrong thing on both ends of that equation.
You're so
reducing wrong. Supply and dramatically increasing the number of dollars. It's going to be a disaster.
What about when they raise the prices, Ron?
Explain. why wouldn't it work that way? She won't be able to answer that question. I hope she gets it.
Doesn't talk about the price increases from corporate America, the greedflation whatsoever. Doesn't talk about record earnings or where the stock market is over 40,000. No. It's all Kamala's fault.
Well, he told the audience, including yours truly, it's really tough to be a billionaire.
Come on.
It's not easy to be a billionaire. That's a direct quote.
Come on.
The Democratic Party responded, yeah. Ron Johnson should spend more time talking to everyday Wisconsinites and less time butting up to millionaires like Rick Scott, one of the wealthiest members of Congress. Fortunately, voters across the country will have the opportunity this week to hear the Democrats, including VP Kamala Harris, Governor Tim Walz, about their vision to make life easier for working families across America. Not billionaires.
Oh, poor billionaires.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates, not even close to being billionaires. We are at the DNC. We are rich in partying and friendship and good times. Come back with us live at the DNC. More devil's advocates.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Monday at the DNC, Chicago, the United Center. We're here, Dom. I've been looking forward to this for months and months and months. And here it is. The party is upon us. And tonight is Joe Biden's night. He will give the big speech tonight, Dom. But he will not be giving the only speech tonight. There'll be a number of speeches. And don't forget, we're going to be anchoring live coverage beginning at 7 o'clock this evening, all week long, Monday through Thursday. Devil's Advocates will go from 7 o'clock till the final bell of the evening, Dom. You're ready to work late, aren't you? Work hard, late.
I mean, for this special and joyous occasion, I'll dig deep, Crudy. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Here are a few of the speakers on the stage tonight. United Auto Workers President Sean Fain is going to speak to the DNC, did a little RNC speech in Milwaukee recently. Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rep. Jamie Raskin. I bumped into Jamie Raskin down here on the floor a little bit earlier today, Dom. Rep. Jasmine Crockett from Texas. And there will be several others, including Andy Beshear, Governor of Kentucky, Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat from Georgia, Chris Coons, who Ron Johnson made fun of today.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but what's he know about running a business? You know, it's really tough being a billionaire, says Ron.
I mean, come on.
You know, it's hard to be profitable, period, but, you know, to be a billionaire, that makes you special.
Wow.
Ron likes those billionaires.
Well, you know, way to play to the crowd, man. I mean, there's only so many of them.
Hillary Clinton giving a speech tonight along with Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, and, of course, Joe Biden, the president, speaking tonight from the United Center. We will anchor all the coverage. Check your local listings, but it'll be on Civic Media. It'll be on WCPT 820 AM, on KTNF 950 AM in Minneapolis, and worldwide streaming at DARNWI.com. Dom.
Crudy, some of the news today that caught my eye. The fab boy himself, Santos, man, George Santos. Pleads guilty to two charges? But what? Had to pay almost $375,000 in restitution and could get what? I saw two, then I also saw up to perhaps 6 to 8 years.
6 to 8 years in prison?
Damn.
That seems like a long time. And, Dom, it looks like the DNC is beginning. The first speakers taking to the stage, Jamie Harrison, the DNC chairman, is speaking now. I wonder if we can do some live listen-ins here. Maybe we'll dip in a little bit as the speakers proceed. Definitely going to be doing all the speeches tonight during the longer anchored coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. So stick around for that. And I understand Todd Alba doing a little precap between 6 and 7 tonight, so stick around on the Civic Media station you're listening to right now for Todd. He'll join you at 6, and then back to the Devil's Advocates at 7,
And we're going to be joined by WCPT's own Patty Vasquez, 8 to 10 each night this week.
According to ABC News, Santos, a former rep from New York, on Monday pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft and admitted he committed other crimes that could land him in prison
many crimes.
For about 7 years under the terms of a plea agreement with federal prosecutors.
As a Republican, wouldn't that just make him more popular? I've seen the license plates. I'm voting for the felon. Maybe they mean Santos.
Santos told the judge he is committed to making amends and learning from this experience. He's due to be sentenced on February 7th.
I wonder if he's still killing it on Cameo. That's his primary income source these days.
Now, he was suing what Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, was the one who hired the Cameo and played it off. Well, Santos ended up suing him. That was also dropped today or thrown out of court. So Santos not only pleading guilty, but his case against Jimmy Kimmel thrown out as well.
Dom, talking about fraud, here's an important fraud. Do you know that Donald Trump accepted the endorsement of Taylor Swift falsely?
Yeah, man, you see that? So someone put out some false AI of the Swifties and Taylor Swift. You know, I believe Taylor Swift was in a Uncle Sam outfit pointing to the screen and saying, I want you to vote for Donald Trump. Now, this is the guy, Donald Trump, who claimed that the rallies that the Vice President Walls were having were what? AI. And that she should be disqualified from running for president because of her use of AI. And literally a few days later, this ass truthies out an AI saying, I accept.
Trump may like the idea of a Swift endorsement, but apparently he didn't actually get a Swift endorsement. Like so much, what's it say here? But like so much with poll-sagging candidate, the long-sought backing of the tortured poets department songstress, it's pure fiction, Dom. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Didn't happen.
With a photo the ex-Celebrity Apprentice host posted of the teen wearing, you talked about it, a Swifties for Trump t-shirt, yeah. An article claiming that Swift fans are turning to Trump after the terror threats that saw the singer's Vienna, Austria shows were canceled in early August. In fact, the computer-generated image on the original feed of the conservative media outlet of Muse blatantly labels the post as satire. I literally don't think Trump knows what that word means.
No.
So, anyways, she did not endorse you. Whether or not you would like to accept the false endorsement of Taylor Swift didn't happen. And I also understand Trumpster's claiming he's better looking than Kamala.
This is where we're at, man. This is Trump losing his frickin' mind. I get it, man. It's like we bust each other's chops, man. We've known each other for over 30
years.
You're
walking, looking in your own reflection in the window today going, oh, damn, that's a good-looking man. You're making that claim today.
Well, it's true, but I'm not running for president, and I'm not going against my political rival after calling her what crazy that laugh and communist Kamala and I'm better looking than she is. I'm just better looking than she is. This is the level of discourse and political seriousness that we are getting from the megas, and of course it is.
The greatest meme I saw was Jabba the Hutt pulling Princess Leia in by the chain, you know, Carrie Fisher, right. Beautiful actress when she was alive, and him saying to Princess Leia, you know, I'm better looking than you.
Just terrible. Just terrible. But what does that say then? In contrast, what's going to go on here this week? You're going to hear the president speak tonight. You're going to hear Hillary Clinton speak tonight. You're going to hear AOC speak tonight, Jamie Raskin speaking tonight. We're going to be talking about, you know, freedom and joy and making things better for everyday Americans.
But when's Hulk Hogan going to go off?
You know, and don't forget Kid Rock. And then what? The right is complaining about the rock and roll show, the entertainment that will be here at the DNC. It's like
that was Laura Ingraham.
Is that who that was?
She's okay. Not impressed by all the energy. It's going to be like a rock show. Like, all they have is enthusiasm going for them.
Yes, and it's a wonderful feeling, and I had no idea how much I missed it. how much I missed the joy. I mean, this, Kurt, we've been doing this a while, man, and to come here and actually be excited to see the candidate, it's been a while, man, to feel this kind of joy and to have a messenger specifically address that. And it just makes Trump and the MAGAs and J.D. Vance look so small. The message that the Republicans and MAGAs have thrown out there is so stale and recycled and overused.
No, it was great. I saw Rick Scott today. We should play a little bit more of this Republican sound. Their press conference at Trump Tower, Dom. And last night they were flashing pictures on the Trump Tower. And I kind of
like the light show kind of thing projecting.
Up on Trump Tower. And what I found unusual today, and I was a little surprised by this, Trump Tower, the letters, they're really faded and kind of crappy, like the M in the Trump. Like part of the coloring is falling off the building. Now the building itself, probably a slight step up from the Congressional Plaza where I've booked our accommodations.
Hey, I mean, it's no circus, but I'll take what I can get.
But last night on the Trump building, Dom, if you can see here, they projected Project
2025 HQ.
That's one of them.
Yes, well
they
done.
They had rotating statements here. Here's another one.
Trump Vance out. I can't. Sorry, man, I can't get that one.
Well, here's one.
Trump Vance, weird as hell, quote unquote.
And they're projecting that on Trump's building. And that's got to be a little galling when they're trash talking you on the side of your own landmark. And, you know, Trump's tower is right on Walbach. It's just outside the green zone here in Chicago. It's really within spitting distance, damn near, of the United Center.
And that's where you went and saw Rick Scott and Ron Johnson this morning lamenting how tough it is for the billionaire class.
Well, Rich, if you're ready, let's play Senator Rick Scott. And this guy does look a hell of a lot like Skeletor. But Senator Rick Scott.
Voldemort?
Well, listen to him explain inflation. He's really good at this.
Oh, good. Excellent. Let's hear it.
Cut 7.
Trump was in office. Where was inflation? It was way under 2%. Gas prices are $1.87 when he left office. Let's look under Biden and Harris. I mean, you can look at all these numbers.
I mean, look at the numbers.
It's as simple as that. Do you have a choice? You can look at we have two people that have a track record. And who are you going to pick? I'm going to pick the business guy that understands that you got to get the economy going again, that you got to get energy prices down. You can't have higher regulatory environment, higher taxes, higher fees, higher permitting, higher everything, and think prices are going to come down. It's pretty simple to me.
It's so simple. I mean, come on, man. Inflation at 2%, 187 gas. I mean, oh, what was going on? Why was gas? Oh, that's right. Nobody was driving anywhere because of the middle of a pandemic and gas prices plummeted.
Yeah, they don't often bring that point up.
They don't talk about that part of it.
And Rick Scott doesn't often talk about the fact that he was CEO of a corporation that defrauded Medicare.
To billions of dollars?
Well, they were fined $1.7 billion because the outrage was grander than that. And he pled the fifth many times.
Many times.
But, you know, he's a businessman.
Yeah, he knows. Hey, I want a businessman. Like, come on, my Trump steaks, Trump vodkas, Trump University.
I was dying to ask the question because they're, you know, these two supposed businessmen, Ron Johnson and Rick Scott, one who defrauded Medicare and one who's the captive supplier of his father-in-law's business, you know, really difficult to make it profitable, though. Ron, you know, those billionaires, you really got to admire those guys. But I was just dying to ask the question. What successful business has Trump ever had? Because, you know, The Apprentice wasn't really anything other than a reality TV show. And him firing people in the boardroom, that's not really accomplishing anything.
No, you know it was a show. It was pretend. I mean, come on, man. It was carnival barking.
You know, I see John Nichols. I hope he can join us here on the fine radio airwaves.
We got like 90 seconds. Maybe we'll get John Nichols in here shortly. We do have one more cut of Rick Scott. If you would please, Rich, let's hear the DNC. The no enthusiasm for here, Harris? What? Cut
it's
eight,
all
please.
For Trump.
In every county in the last 8 months, there was no energy for Biden. There's no energy for Harris. We know what socialism is in Florida. We have a lot of people who have come from Cuba and Venezuela and Nicaragua, and they've dealt with it. It's completely rejected there. So Trump is doing unbelievable in Florida.
Unbelievable. So what? Rick Scott has been to every county in Florida in the last 8 months. Well, how many have you been to in the last 1 month?
No, there's no enthusiasm for Harris.
None. No, you got the Harris AI crowds. Campaign, or at least folks, supporters in the villages, man, in the villages. There's a little bit of enthusiasm, Rick.
Have you ever met Rick Scott? There's no enthusiasm for that human being. I'm not even sure if he is a human being. I really am wondering. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're here at the DNC. All the party people.
Voldemort's a human being. He's just an evil wizard.
Wasn't he like part snake, though?
That's what he could do, man.
You know, I think we're going to pull John Nichols from The Nation, the Cap Times locally. He's here at the DNC in Chicago. We're going to pull him to the table. Stick around. More Devil's Advocates live on the road. Our pal John Nichols joining us next.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to The Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC United Center in Chicago. Check us out on the socials on Facebook at The Devil's Advocates Radio, on Twitter at Devil Radio.
And don't forget, check your local listings because we're going to bring you anchored coverage beginning at 7 o'clock and go until the end all week long. And our pal, Todd Alba, what's he going to do?
Fill the gap 7 to 8? What's happening?
He's going to bridge the gap.
6 to 7. Bridge the gap.
And we got a fine guest here at the table. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times in Madison. John, great to see you, man. Welcome to our little corner of the DNC world.
This is an amazingly good corner.
Isn't it nice? Right?
You got like light coming in from it's
yeah,
actually
like a window. Yeah, you got a little breeze when we open up the
felt
door.
I had stumbled upon ABC radio or something.
Oh, yeah, fancy.
This is very good. They must know what show matters.
Oh yeah.
John, this is the farthest back corridor of the DNC convention, I think.
Either that or that's the front door.
That could be. We're not complaining, you know. We got good company at the table.
It's
we
good.
Got a fine convention. And tonight is Joe Biden's night.
It is his night, yeah.
And also Hillary Clinton going to give a speech.
It's going to be a long night, brother. I want to tell you that. I looked at the schedule. I don't know if you looked at the whole thing. That is a very, very, very – they have like basically every labor leader in America speaking, mm-hmm. and then every mayor, and then Hillary Clinton, then James Taylor, right, and then the whole Biden family.
I see fire and I see rain?
it's a good question which song – I think you got a friend. Don't you think?
Yeah,
I think so. But anyway, bottom line, it's going to be a very, very lengthy night. A lot of amazing things. It is Biden's night. And I will tell you this. There will be a point tonight where the camera pans the crowd, right? And you're going to see people crying. And it will be because, there's poignancy to him standing down and all that. But there is also a sense that you know, this is a guy who set out very unexpectedly roughly four years ago, said, I will be the most progressive president since Franklin Roosevelt. And on domestic policy, by and large, he's achieved it. So, I mean, it's sort of an epic moment.
Yeah.
But there will also be in the back of people's minds a sense it's good that this is why this is on Monday night, right? This is the end of the past. Tomorrow begins the future.
And tomorrow, Kamala Harris is going to be in Milwaukee. They're going to simulcast a rally during the DNC. I think this is actually brilliant, although... From a media perspective, it kind of stretches one a little bit. You know, you can only do so much coverage.
On Wednesday, I'm going to see you with one of those whiplash collars on. Yeah.
You know, I did put in for credentials in Milwaukee. I don't think I can play this doubleheader.
It's hard to tell. You got to drive fast. But, that's genius. And here's the bottom line. I think that Donald Trump's been running for president for now the better part of 10 years, right? And so... He gets to a weekend. He says, I want to take a day off, stuff like this. Kamala Harris, she's on a 100-day plan, right? And I think she's looking at it that way. It's like, I got another day. Am I going to sit in a hotel? Or am I going to go do what Trump did and go to the convention each night and sit up in the stands and listen? Or am I going to go to Milwaukee a swing state and, you know, do a little something. I have little doubt she may, you know, decide Wednesday morning to head up to Saugatuck, Michigan and, you know, go to the beach campaign over there. Because I think she sees every day as an essential day to getting to be the president of the United States. And she's not going to let one of them go by. I think the Milwaukee rally is going to be a very big deal. And, of course, people are going to be counting. Were there more people in there for Trump's renomination? Or are there more people in there for Kamala Harris's rally?
Oh, they're going to have way more for Kamala Harris, I suspect. John, here's my greatest regret, and it's only Monday. I went to the Wisconsin breakfast this morning, and I'm enjoying, and, you know, I'm trying to get some sound after the breakfast. And
sure.
One of the fine delegates said, wasn't Tim Walz great this morning? Tim Walz spoke to the Wisconsin delegation first thing this morning.
He just shot in there to give a little chit-chat.
And I missed it.
Well, you're a loser.
Yeah, I am.
He had one job, John. One job.
No, but, you know, here's the bottom line. This place is so sick with celebrities, right, that you are going to miss something every minute. A friend of mine, John Fugelsang, he does radio or streaming or whatever it is around the corner. And we were talking a few minutes ago, and he said, yeah, I'm just sitting here pulling people over, right? And it's members of Congress, cabinet secretaries, stuff like this. Now, getting Tim Walz at the Wisconsin thing is pretty good.
But, introduced by Chuck Schumer, no less.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. couldn't get Nancy Pelosi, but Schumer's pretty good. You know? Not bad. You know, I suppose when Kamala Harris comes on Wednesday, she'll have Nancy Pelosi.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We've got John Nichols for a few more minutes. Then we're going to give way for Todd Alba. And then we'll be back at 7 o'clock to do the anchored coverage all night long. The speeches have begun. I heard the tears. Hillary, though.
Yeah,
Hillary is...
Yeah. I told you so.
Kind of going to...
No, it's I told you so.
That's going to be I told you so.
Do we need to hear that tone from Hillary?
No, we do, and it's all fine because it now works, right? It works actually very, very well. Says it's just like, I mean, it's just as gently as I can. I just want to tell you, 2016, I said this Trump thing was not going to work out, and it did not. And I don't think she's going to be. I think she'll have humor. She's actually, if you follow her on Twitter and stuff like that, she's got a little bit of humor there.
Yeah,
I think
she has been. She's been.
She's got an edge to her.
Yep.
And I think it's going to look. It's all a competition, right? Everybody's trying to give the best speech. I have a feeling Hillary Clinton's going to come out there and give a pretty rocking speech. You know, because I think I think a lot of people are going to get that. I told you so very, very clearly.
Can't wait.
John Nichols, thank you. Thank you to Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of Michigan. Yeah. Also
and current TV host.
Secretary of Energy.
Yeah, that too. Canadian.
Tom Perez today. Tom, very good.
Yeah.
We had our buddy Scott Ross today.
Good
we
man.
Kind of. Blew by Matt Flynn today.
Yeah,
I hope
sorry, you'll... Matt, try tomorrow. Congressman Mark Polkan, a friend as well. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah,
Matt.
A lot of good people at the table. Save the best for last, John Nichols.
Obviously.
Of course, man.
Now, you're going to have better tomorrow.
Rich, thank you for what you did. Thank you for the team here at Civic Media supporting us. Corey, Casper, Fancy, Brian, Max, everybody. We'll do it again tomorrow, but we'll be back at 7 o'clock. Anchored coverage all night long. Right here on Civic Media, Todd Alba next. Devils Advocates till 10.
Thank you, John.
It's a total pleasure.